Blog Talk Radio.
This is Master Griot Radio, channel 13 on your NBBTA Internet Radio dial. I'm Jacqueline Taylor Adams, and I am your host for this moment in time. It's time for purpose-driven words, shaping thoughts, building minds, true wealth, communities, and legacies.
If my words had wings, they'd fly to you each day.
Welcome. This is Center Stage. We're going to get our spotlight on with the BBS Value Tour. It's time to get up close and personal. And our host with the most is Lady Liana, and she's on the line. What's up?
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's me, Lady Liana.
Hey, that's real cool.
Tonight.
That's great. So how you doing today?
I'm doing really good, really good.
That's
can't wait
great.
To get started to talk to our guests.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's
we
cool.
Got an interesting lineup tonight.
Yes, we do.
Mm-hmm.
We have the one and the only. Everybody knows her. E-Biz Marketing. You've seen it everywhere you go. On Black Business Space, E-Biz, E-Biz, E-Biz. The BBS Value Tour, E-Biz Marketing, eBusinessOnline.com. Says if you miss out on E-Biz, you miss out. Yes, yeah, we got the CEO of E-Biz, because E-Biz is the sponsor of the Black Business Space Value Tour, and the CEO is Edwina Warder, and we have her on the line today. And this is a rarity. This may never happen again, so soak it in while you can. I have been told.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh. And then we also have a special from the family. We have Chuck Jackson. So all you got to do is go to bbsvaluetour.ning.com and you can check all our guests out. But Chuck Jackson is a family member, member of the community, and he's a wine lover. So it's going to be exciting to hear from Chuck. He's into wines, and he loves wines. He's a mahogany wine taster. He has about 15 different sites about wines.
Yeah, and I think he sponsors some kind of a festival, wine festival, in Detroit area. So that's
going
to be really interesting for the listeners out in that area.
Yeah, yeah. So that should be really good. And then we have one of our featured R&B male artists, Melvin C. McKnight. And I don't know if you got a chance to check out the promo, but in the promo, it's Mel's song "Dark Chocolate" for Black Mel. So, mm-hmm. But if you want like a sexy, you know, that sexy kind of guy that can, you know, tell it to you right. And brothers, if you want to make sure you get some, all right, you know, check out Mel.
All right now, family show. We try to be real, but.
But he need a little help, you know, just pop the Mel CD in straight from the uptown and go get some flowers. Oh, so real interesting show today. So what's been going on with you, Liana? You did the African Marketplace, correct?
Oh, yes. 3 weekends in a row down in the Los Angeles African Marketplace. I love it. I'll go. It was my 2nd year. It's been going on for 23 years. I don't know where I've been. Well, I've been to it as a customer, but to be a part of it is just phenomenal. I'm a part of the holistic tent where you can come and get massages and get all natural products, including mine. But there's another lady in there. She's doing the most with My Imagine. There's no competition. We just got 2 options to provide for the customers. Down there with My Earrings Fetish, my girl Joyce Lynn just hooking up the earrings. Just she's just an artist when it comes to earring making. And just, you know, coming down there and feeling the vibe in the tent, you can come and get your massages by Diavu and Prima and Brenda. Brenda is the person that put it all together for the Holistic 10. She's just kind of holding it down. And just coming in there, you can sit down, and they have drummers in there. You can just kind of let go some tension by drumming. And it's just a fantastic family environment. And every time I come, well, like I said, it's the second year, but now I have a whole extended family because the people in there are just great. So I will be back next year. Oh, yeah, there was a new addition to the Holistic Tent, Dr. Quentin Williams, chiropractor, age 28, phenomenal. So, you know, just so much down there and just so much positive energy. So I hope you guys can all come and be a part of it next year. Sign up for my newsletter. I'll keep you posted.
Great. Now, Liana also does our 411 and the BBS Value Tour. So if you want to know what's going on, what's the gossip, and what's the end, come check out the 411. Yeah. Now, did you get to check out Gina Green?
Oh, my gosh, yes. And I got to take a picture with her. I got to meet her personally and take a picture with her. She is. She's truly an artist. That was such a treat. That was just such a treat. It's just phenomenal. She's really holding it down. She's going somewhere. She's just really representing out there. So anybody who missed it, y'all missed it. Get her CD on CD Baby, Gina Green. Pick it up. She's good.
Okay, cool. All right. So, what we have next coming up is we really just have some exciting things. We're preparing for the BBS Value Tour. We're preparing for our stop here in Philly. The West Coast going to come to the East Coast.
Okay.
So we're preparing for our stop in Philly at the International Art Expo. And Ice-T is going to be there with his wife, Coco.
Okay, that's hot.
Yeah, we have the woman from, remember the woman who played Joyce, who played Rock's wife on Rock?
Oh, yes, I do. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
I do. Uh-huh.
She has written a play, and that will be performed there.
Wow.
Yes, and Michael from Good Times, he'll be there. He's a playwright up in New York.
Yeah.
He has his own theater in New York.
Ralph
He's
Carter.
Going to be there. Ralph
okay,
Carter,
yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And also Miss Stamos, who played Thelma. So she will
okay,
also
Bernadette
be there.
Okay,
yeah,
that's
Ben,
wonderful.
Yes. So we have, it's going to be a wonderful lineup at the Art Expo, and it's just a few of the things happening.
Mm-hmm.
And a BBS Value Tour, we're going to give a kickoff VIP little concert performance on that Thursday on November the 8th at the Arts Garage. So you get a chance to check out some of our featured artists that are local to the area. We're going to bring Mr. Melvin C. McKnight down from Jersey.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to have the Molly and Quiet Rage. We'll have them in Rhapsody, which I know Edwina loves Rhapsody. So
mm-hmm.
And Infinite Life. So we'll have them all out performing. And then we're going to ask Big Check Ty. We're going to ask him to bring down one of his artists from New York, from MLB Records. So
right.
We're gonna do a nice little show and some networking and just have some fun, and we have a wonderful VIP for the sponsors.
Okay.
That's
I like
the next
a little VIP
thing.
Up
yeah.
in there. Okay.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, so if there's any business people out in the audience, it's time to get involved and advertise your business with the BBS Value Tour. You can advertise here on Center Stage. This show is just growing and growing, and our audience is growing, the outreach is growing. So you know, come advertise, and we have some really great specials. So eBiz Marketing will be getting them out to you.
Mm-hmm.
But we got some great advertising specials. They have three wonderful, great specials for you. Really get a bang for your buck. So $150 is going to get you a whole lot with the Value Tour to advertise. And then any of our corporate entities, we do have sponsorship opportunities that we will definitely customize for you. So that's the good things coming up. What we want to do while we're waiting here is hit up some music. So since we're here, we got a few people on the line, and we want to get your spirits up. We might want to kick it off with some We're going to kick this off with Coming with the Fire.
Right.
That's by Matata Ray.
Oh,
say
yeah,
ho.
Get out strong and bold. Do you wanna rock and roll? I'm a phenomenal
Hello. Okay, we are back. We just got finished listening to Rock and Roll, and that is the BBS Value Tour featured artist for R&B female Mahogany, and she was our guest last week. So it's time for our first interview, and on the line is from 313.
From 313.
Is that Mr. Chuck Jackson on the line?
Yes, I'm here.
Oh, wonderful. How you doing tonight, Chuck Jackson?
I'm doing great.
Good.
I'm great.
I'm glad you were able to be able to join us this evening. So, Chuck Jackson, what I want to know, and I think our listening audience want to know, is exactly who you are. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, born and raised in the city of Detroit, educated outside of the state of Michigan and Indiana and Minnesota. Somewhere along the line, I decided to start visiting wineries in my travels through the Midwest. And while I started just stopping to take a rest from the road, I ended up talking to a bunch of winemakers, tasting a lot of wine, learning a lot of things. I believe it was sometime around 2001, my wife and I took a trip out to Napa Valley, and I was just blown away by the scenery. But some of the wines really didn't blow me away. I said I had tasted better wines in Michigan, better wines in Ohio. And
excuse us.
So, well, you have to understand my philosophy of wine drinking, because I'm a wine lover. People want to call me a connoisseur, an expert, but I'm a wine lover, and my thing is to get people to love wine as much as I do. But the first thing you have to understand is you have to know what you like and continue to drink and buy what you like.
Right.
Don't let anybody tell you that $125 bottle of wine is for you, when your taste buds may actually just love and adore the $6 bottle. So,
okay.
You know, I'm not into the snobbery that a lot of wine people are into.
Mm-hmm.
I'm actually trying to get us to be actually more European and more worldwide as far as how other countries deal with it, which is here it seems to be you have to reach a certain socioeconomic status or want to reach that before you start getting into wine tasting. When you go to other countries, regardless of whether you're middle class or even poor, you drink wine. You just drink that wine that either fits your pocketbook or you save enough so you can get that better wine. But wine is always going to be part of your life.
Right.
So that's my whole thing now, is trying to expose people. And over my being an African-American male, I've been thoroughly surprised ever since I started doing this as a business, mm-hmm. at the level of African-Americans that are actually drinking wine. And it has been my goal to get them to come out to more public events and share their knowledge, because I've learned a lot because mm-hmm. I spoke to other wine lovers and winemakers. And that's how you learn, is by talking to other people.
Well, okay, like you said, since your travels and visiting the wine countries, you've learned a lot. What was the first thing that you learned about wine that you didn't know during your first, like, tour of the countries and your first level of interest? What was the first thing that you learned and said, wow,
the first thing that I learned is that what a wine tastes like is based upon a number of factors, but the primary factor is what the winemaker was trying to do.
Okay.
Because generally winemakers are trying to make a particular type of wine and a particular type of, or style of wine. You have a bunch of winemakers out here that they specialize in wines that are on the sweeter side. You have some that they prefer dry wines, so they make dry wines.
Okay.
And even when those winemakers are trying to make sweeter wines to broaden their portfolios, a lot of times they end up, their sweeter wines end up falling along the side of the wine that they love, which is dry. It's going to be
dry.
It's going to be a semi-dry, not a sweet wine.
Right, I see.
And but what I've learned is that it's there are a lot of things that go into why a wine tastes the way it does. And primarily it's the winemaker and what they intended to do. And sometimes even what they intended to do ended up not going right, and they ended up doing something fantastic with it. So there are a lot of wine mistakes that have sold millions of cases.
That's crazy. And
yeah.
So you have a wine cellar and all that. It's huge. And
yeah, well, I generally use it as a part of my business, because in fact I'll be depleting most of it next Tuesday for a wine tasting that we're having at the Detroit alumni chapter of Alpha Phi Alpha. We're doing an after work get together with them, and they're letting us come in and do our wine education and basically be Pied Pipers for wine.
Oh, okay. For someone like myself who, you know, I just drink it if it tastes good. I understand that there's an age thing about it, the significance and how old it is. Could you explain that to me and those like me who probably don't understand? Is it the older the better?
Well, generally you're talking about a vintage of a wine. The first thing that you need to understand about vintage is vintage is generally done so that you know the year in which the wine was bottled, or basically the year the wine was harvested. And that determines a lot of things. But the one thing you need to understand, red wine generally gets better with age.
Okay.
White wines are generally better when they're served young. Most people will say you do not want to drink a white wine that is really older than 2 years. Because the difference between reds and whites primarily is the fact that red wines are generally, number one, the grape juice sits on the grape skins to get its color. Then once you start to do that primary or that first start at fermentation, after they take it off the grape skins, generally they're going to put it in a barrel to finish its fermentation and its aging. It's actually the barrel aging that gives tannins and a number of other chemical additives to red wine that makes it basically last longer or possibly get better as it ages in the bottle. But that is not always the case.
Okay.
That is not always the case. I've actually had a buddy of mine who's really, really into the higher-end wines. He was one of the first African-Americans to actually go to a tasting of what I call the creme de la creme, the Opus ones. And he actually met a couple of wine writers, and he was one of the few people that night that basically tasted a wine that basically was $200 a bottle, and he and this other wine writer were the only ones that could tell that the wine had actually spoiled. It was not actually a good wine. Everybody else was going around talking about how great the wine was.
That's crazy. And
he goes, well, you know what? This tastes kind of skunked to me. This tastes like the bottle, you know, they call it corked, meaning that seal on the bottle did not hold and too much air got in the bottle and actually spoiled the wine. So he and his wine writer were the only ones that actually picked up on the fact that the wine had actually been spoiled, but all the rest of the people were just enamored at the fact that, ooh, this is the first time I get to taste a $250 bottle of wine. And they weren't realizing that what they were tasting was not a good taste.
Oh, my goodness.
So, again, age is not necessarily a precursor of a good wine. Yes, red wines do generally get better with age, but it depends upon how you allow it to age. That's why they prefer you to have it in a wine cellar so that you can have the bottles angled downward so that the wine is always touching the cork. I always tell people that that's the misnomer about smelling the cork when you're at a restaurant. And it's actually a misnomer. You can smell the cork, but what you're really looking for is to make sure the bottom of the cork that was closest to the wine before you open the bottle is actually still moist. Because if that cork is dry, if you open up a bottle of wine and there is no moisture on the bottom of that cork, you want to send that bottle of wine back, because more than likely the seal on the bottle was broken and too much air got in. It's probably corked. It's probably a spoiled bottle of wine.
Oh, yeah. See, this is very informative. Very. Wow. I am funny. I actually, when I first moved into my house, I had more nectarines that I could do anything with. So I went to the web and found a wine recipe, and I made nectarine wine.
Correct.
I can't say that it was delicious, but it sure was strong.
Well, as long as you have a fruit base that has enough sugar content in it,
you can make
wine out of it. And
yeah.
Because the group just started getting more into, and especially me personally, we just started to get more into spirits as well as wines, and we've learned that that is what sugar is what basically creates your alcohol.
What does it? Yeah.
The more sugar you have when you start the fermentation process or the distillation process, the more alcohol you're generally going to have as the end product.
Yeah, as I could see, it was, wow. My mom was like, is that legal? Have you ever made wine yourself?
Actually, I made wine when I was, my dad actually bought a home winemaking kit when I was about 13 or 14.
Oh, okay.
And we made a batch of Pinot Grigio, and actually what happened was is that the instructions that we were given with the kit were actually wrong. We were told to add one can of juice to the mixture of water and everything once we started the fermentation process. What we didn't realize was is that they had updated the kit, and what used to be one can of juice, they separated and made it two cans of juice. So we had only added one can of juice to the mixture when we needed to add two.
Oh.
And the sweetness level was off. The alcohol level was off. Everything was off.
Wow.
So, and it came out kind of like a fermented soda pop, which really wasn't great.
Oh, yeah, that doesn't sound delicious at all.
Right. But,
not at all.
But from that first mistake, I learned that for myself, I'm not a wine maker, although a lot of people have told me that they believe that in the end I'll probably end up with my own winery someday, which is...
You know, but that's exactly what it sounds like. Yeah, you know enough about it.
Well, I'm living vicariously through a lot of winemakers, and if you weren't aware, there are several out in California, several African American winemakers out in California that are doing great things.
Oh yeah, who are they? Can you give them a little shout out?
Mac McDonald at Vision Cellars, I believe he's in Sonoma County. You have Vance Sharp at Sharp Cellars, also in Sonoma.
Mm-hmm.
Steve Sterling from Estherlina, he's actually the marketing person. His brother is the winemaker
mm-hmm.
for Estherlina. And I want to say they're in Napa or pretty close to Napa.
Okay.
You have Iris Rideau. I don't know if she's in Santa Barbara, but she does Rideau Vineyards, and she has a really great story. All of the black winemakers have just these great stories. Mac McDonald is the son of a Mac McDonald is the son of a Texas moonshiner. Iris Rideau is actually a transplant from New Orleans, and she used to have her own insurance brokerage business, and that grew to a point where she decided to follow her love of wine because basically I believe her parents ran like a club, nightclub or restaurant down in New Orleans that sold wine and sold spirits. And so when she got older, she kind of fell back into that.
Wow.
So, no, there's just a lot of great stories. What is that? Mm-hmm. Ernest Brown from Brown Estates? No, there's just a ton. Right now, I believe there were five individuals that I knew of that had wineries, five black individuals that had wineries in California. I would figure it has grown by leaps and bounds probably in the last 5 years, but I'm still only familiar with like the Iris Rideau's, the Mac McDonald's, because Mac has done all across the United States. I finally got to meet him in person this past June. And that's the only guy I know that sells $50 bottles of wine, and he basically does tastings in a straw hat and overalls. They're very, very, very tasteful overalls, but they're overalls.
I'm sure they are. That's funny. Okay, Jacqueline, did you have any questions for our guest? Oh, Jacqueline? Oh,
yes.
Oh,
I'm sorry. I had myself muted.
Oh, that's okay.
Yes, but you know what I did like to ask you, Chuck? And I was watching a show on TV One. There's a black brother that has a cooking show. And he was interviewing and talking with a woman that's in Harlem in a winery, and I so wanted to get in touch with her. I went to write the message down. Someone diverted my attention. I couldn't remember. But do you have any idea?
Whoa.
Of any
now, does
of
she have
woman?
A does she have a winery? Or I know there's a black family that has a very upscale wine shop in Harlem. But I am not familiar of a winery in Harlem, and that would be something I would be interested in.
Well, I'm not. Maybe it was a wine shop, and I considered it a winery. You know, it was on. I was moving around, and then I just realized the conversation and all, because
right.
I too wanted to get more into wines and incorporating them into, especially our VIP events.
Correct.
I've done some. I've been to some things with Napa Valley, and or they've done some events that I've been at, and it's been pretty nice. And what was really interesting was that she talked about, you know, a lot of wines from Africa, and a lot of wines from they came from African-American wineries, you know, African-Americans
Correct.
Who made wines and all. And I just,
Right.
you know, so that's really great, you know. So I was interested in that. So,
Right. Well, here in the state of Michigan, we actually have two wineries that are run by South African-trained winemakers. The art of winemaking is worldwide, and because of basically the love of wine spreading to the, I mean, basically people are moving from different areas to different areas. We have winemakers here in Michigan that actually bought land down in Argentina. They actually bought a vineyard in the middle of the valley, and they're actually importing the wine to Michigan to fortify the reds that they're growing here to make them more robust. So, I mean, there's just a lot of things going on about the African-American family with the wine shop in Harlem. I have heard of them, and I always urge people, I just got to talking online with a guy who's up in Washington State, and he and his wife go to the Washington State and Oregon wineries, and I basically asked him, if there's any that you love, please send me a note for my site so that I can pass it on to our members. And I would like to say that as a whole to this group, if there are any other wine lovers out there that want to share their love for their particular winery, for their particular winemaker, please send me some information to my site. Please become a member of the Mahogany Taster site, because again, the sharing of information is what makes this really, really good. Those people who want to learn more about wine can learn from each other about the various regions, because every state in the United States grows wine grapes and makes and has at least one winery in it.
Mm-hmm.
So, and when you spread it out to the world, I mean, it's just mind-boggling exactly how many different places actually grow wine and make really great wines.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, and I just wanted to ask you something else before we kind of wrap it up. I'm looking at your website.
Excuse me.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, well, just before you wrap up, just make sure that, because you talked about your website, Chuck, but you didn't give them the website, because you know we are on internet radio, so we might as well take advantage.
That's what I'm into.
So
that's
give
exactly
us a website so people can look while you speak.
Well, my original website was domaindetroitwinefestival.com. And that was my primary site that I set up when I got the great brainstorm of trying to set up a wine festival in the city of Detroit. It still has not materialized, but things have been moving in that direction for the last 2 or 3 years to make it actually become a reality. After that, I became part of several wine tasting groups. The last wine tasting that I've really made a thoroughly conscious effort to work with is called the Mahogany Tasters, and we have a Ning site. I believe it's at themahoganytasters.ning.com. And that is a site where we actually try to get a lot of participation from our members, but I'm constantly posting new information about wines as well as spirits. If you go through there, especially the photo section, you'll probably find more photos on liquor bottles than you will wine bottles. But that's just where I am right now, in the fact that I will also dabble in giving information about spirits as well, because I'm into bourbons, I'm into vodkas, as well as red wines. The red wines that I have in my cellar right now are Argentinian Cabernet Sauvignon. What else do I have down there? And I just picked up actually a Spanish white, and it's a grape I've never heard of. It's a Viura. I think it's V-I-U-R-A. It's like 85% of that and 15% Cabernet Sauvignon. And, you know, it's just a wonderful blend.
Wow.
But those are just some of the things. And I just cracked open a bottle of some Italian Prosecco that I always keep around. I try to keep it around. My wife loves Moscato d'Asti from Italy. If you're really into sweet wines and you have not tried a Moscato d'Asti, which is different from a Moscato, because a Moscato is a still wine with no bubbles. Moscato di Asti is it's called Frizzante, or the style of sparkling wine is called Frizzante because they're really light, delicate bubbles, not the heavier bubbles from champagnes or other sparkling wine.
Okay.
Well,
yeah.
it's been wonderful, Chuck, and you've given us some great information, and it's fantastic. You know, I'm just surfing through, like, who can I interview this week? So I'm going through all the members and all, and I just remember your picture because I see your picture last. So I just clicked on, and I'm like, wine lover. This will be interesting. Let me call Chuck up. That's really great. And I know it's a lot of interest and a lot of people. Most people drink wines. And
right.
We don't have, you know, a lot of different information. And I know a lot of people are curious about people who taste wine. What's the draw? What's the cure? You know, why are people so into it? But after hearing you speak, I think most people can understand and would love to know more. So I'd love for you too, Chuck, to share some of that information at the BBS Value Tour. So you're over there to let people know who you are, let them know about your site, how they can find out more, and how they can get into wine tasting and discovering wines.
That's great. What I will do is I will start to, I'll actually start to post some things in the forum.
Oh, that's perfect.
And that will, hopefully spur some discussion, because that's generally how I'm able to really educate people, is when people ask questions, because it gets me to think about it, and then once I think about it, I'm able to even go deeper into it and go, oh, yeah, that's why that is. Or I'm one of those people that, yes, I don't know the answer, I can steer you to somebody who does.
Exactly.
Leon. Well, what we'll do, we'll create a forum of, you know, all about wines, a mahogany wine taste, or whatever you want me to call it. We'll create that forum. And then everybody know they can come near and look for information and ask their questions and get that dialogue going.
Great. Well, thank you. Thank you, ladies. It was a pleasure to be a part of this this wonderful program. Thank you very much.
I actually like to know, how did you find out about the BBS Value Tour? What's your direction?
Well, a buddy of mine started a Ning site called the Hedonist Society. And ever since, you know, when I saw how his site was set up, that's when I started setting up my site.
Mm-hmm.
Once I set up my site, then I realized that, you know, I need to surf and see what everybody else was doing.
Mm-hmm.
And once I started surfing, you know, it was just one of those things where I believe, what was it, the NBBTA,
yeah.
I've been a member of them for at least a year and a half, maybe almost 2 years now.
Mm-hmm.
And I think because of my membership in that particular site, in that particular organization, I receive everything ancillary to it. I believe I received something in one of my Ning emails about joining your group, and I looked at the site and then just immediately joined it. I mean, if you look at my particular profile, I'm probably a member of about 60 or 70 different groups.
Oh.
So,
well, that's fabulous.
Because it's all about spreading the word, and I think just through Ning in the last year or so, I've been able to make connections with people that I never thought I could make connections with. So, you know, the networking possibilities are
endless,
and it does nothing but makes you more visible, I think, nationwide, worldwide, and even for me locally here in Detroit, there's a lot of people that have joined the Ning family and has just started to participate more. I've had a lot of people show up to some of our events here in the city of Detroit. So I've had people from out of state, you know, get tired of me sending them information and saying, you know what, I'm coming to Detroit just to come to one of your events.
Oh, wow.
So
yeah.
That's where it's going now.
Well, Chuck, you know you're going to have to host the BBS Value Tour. We need to be a stop in Detroit. We need somebody to host us there.
Okay. Well, that's something I can definitely look into because there's a number of establishments. Because, in fact, tomorrow I'll be at Seldom Blues, which is on the riverfront. And we're actually doing a networking event there with the International Detroit Black Expo, and it's about 10 other black networking organizations that are going to have a forum tomorrow night. So it would really be great to see if we can piece everything together, or better yet, we do something called Buy Black Weekend every June.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and I would love to be able to bring you guys in and basically try to set up something around, the group and the organization and have a presentation through Buy Black Weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's ideal. We'll have our resource book together by then, and we know we have wonderful talent. So.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
Yeah, so we're going to continue that networking, and we're going to, because, you know, nobody from the West Coast, Chuck, they don't want to come over to the East Coast or over Midwest area during the wintertime.
Well,
they don't want to come, so the June works out well.
Mac always told me he was not coming here when it snowed. So when he came in June, we almost didn't hook up because his wife had never been here and they wanted to go to Mackinac Island. So they came in to Mackinac, did the whole touristy thing, but it still worked out. So, and in fact, Mac, we're trying to set up something big with at least three black winemakers to come in next June for Buy Black Weekend.
So you put us on there. Just put us on. Let us know what we need to do because, you know, we're working on the sponsorships now, and we're promoting. We're our way up to April right now with 2009. So
we'll
get it on the board, and we'll promote it, and that's what we're here to create, vertical paradigms. So
to lift
each other up. Yeah.
Okay. Well, I'll connect you with Ken Harris, who's the president and CEO of International Detroit Black Expo, and his assistant, Arena Perry. And trust me, between the three of us, we'll make this happen.
Okay. All right. Okay.
Well, it's been a pleasure.
Not a problem.
Yeah. So what, you have your proverbial question, Lady Niana?
Oh, yes, actually. Can't forget that. You have 30 seconds, Chuck. What do you want to get in the minds of people about what you do as far as wine? 30 seconds. What do you want them to know?
Food, wine, and fellowship is the epitome of networking. Anytime you can get together with a group of people over a great meal and a great wine, great things happen.
All right. Well, you heard it from the man himself.
Okay. All right.
Thank you, Chuck.
Well, yeah. So what we're going to do, we're going to go to a commercial, and we're going to have another selection by one of the BBS Value Tour artists, and then we're going to the one and the only Edwina from eBiz Marketing, because she's on the line.
Hello, everyone. My name is Donna McKeithen, and I am founder of Exodus International Group. We are a tour and meeting planning company located in Alexandria, Virginia. We provide quality, cost-effective vacations, cruises, and tour packages, as well as historical and educational programs for groups and individuals. Also, call us if you need international meeting assistance for your business or church. We are your cultural connection to the continent of Africa. Visit places like Ghana and Senegal and the Gambia and Mali and South Africa. Also, travel to Europe and Asia and the Caribbean and South America. And we offer many other destinations around the world. Interested in international business or coach class tickets? Give us a call. Our staff has over 20 years of experience in the tourism and travel industry. Visit our website at www.xisandxrayodusint.com or call us at 703-971-9660. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Men out there that are forever indebted to the love we gave and the love we give. And as the relationship goes on, see, we start to take notice, cause this love that we've been banking on has never flourished. Interest accumulates as we go on more dates. We're making an initial deposit, so throughout we can draw from it. But after a while, we balance the books, cause after all the love, no credit, things don't seem as smooth as they look. Now, if the math is done, we can see quite a discrepancy. Credit and loans have left us in bankruptcy. Filing chapter 11, cause we let him skip steps. Now, we're the ones emotionally in debt. So, here, lady, lies the mission. Come close and listen. Steps 1 through 5 for the next hopeful guy. Steps 1 through 5 for the next hopeful guy. Say this one's for the fellas. Let me tell you, fellas. This one's for the fellas. Let me tell you, fellas. This one's for the fellas. Let me tell you, fellas. This one's for the fellas. Come on, let me tell you. Welcome to ME National Bank. We first have this little application for you to take. Number one, respect is just a minimum deposit, so your checks won't bounce. It accrues no interest, merely opens up your account. Number two, the mind and body are the checking and savings. How this works? We will frequently check where your mind is at and save our bodies until you build the balance you lack. Number three, loans are reserved for those with collateral. Not your money, your car, but what's in your soul? Not your money, your car, but what's in your soul? So we can make sure you play by the rules and pay in full. Number four, there is no overdraft protection. If your account is overdrawn, we will quickly close it, and we may not be kind enough to send you a notice. Number five, we'll need to see two forms of ID and your portfolio, you know, so we can see where you've invested your joy. I mean, what are we to think about your stock in us while you still hold shares in Playboy? So, for all these, I suggest that you read the fine print. For failure to abide result in your business being dismissed. I'm sorry to come off sounding so harsh, but it's time for us ladies to make a new start. We are refinancing today, so we can live up to all the things we say. So when a new man comes to open up a new account, we can sign, co-sign, the undersigned signs by our signs, and not some forged copy will really leave our hearts and minds. I hope I haven't confused too many, you still know where I'm headed. No longer do we have to give or receive love on credit, for we've been blessed with the greatest gift of all, with the good Lord to thank, the most precious of all his creatures, who just happen to hold the keys to the most powerful bank. That's ME National Bank. That's me National Bank. That's ME National Bank. That's me National Bank.
Okay, now we're back, and Jacqueline, did I lose you? Okay, I guess we're just going to move it right along.
Oh, I'm sorry. Can you hear me now? I'm like, can you hear me? I'm talking. Can you hear me? I'm like, okay, I'm calling Edwina. I'm like, Edwina, Edwina.
Okay.
And I heard you come on. I'm like, Justin, she hear me? I'm like, I'm here. Raising my hand. I'm here. I am
invisible.
Muted.
Okay, that was funny. Okay,
I am muted. Edwina.
Okay.
I thought I
here
muted
we
myself.
Go. Okay, Jacqueline, Edwina,
yeah.
Take it away.
Yeah.
What's up?
Hey, Edwina.
Hello. Hi. Yeah, I'm here. Hi.
Hey, it's the one and it's the only AP Marketing.
Yeah.
I think most people just know EBiz Marketing and they don't know the woman behind the band.
Okay, no pictures, no nothing, huh?
So, everybody wants to know, who is Edwina Warder?
Edwina Warder is a hard worker, entrepreneur, real estate investor, business owner. That's pretty much what I am. I'm just a hard worker. I've always been a hard worker ever since I was young. I've worked out of necessity, you know, because we didn't grow up with a lot of money. So I've always worked, and I've always understood the value of hard work. And so that's just who I am, a hard worker.
All right. Okay. And there's real estate. So you have properties. Do you rent them out? Do you flip? How you work your real estate?
I never was a flipper. I never really got into the flipping of the properties. I'm into the purchasing them and renting them out and holding on to them. And, you know, the market is so crazy now, so you gotta hold on to it, else you lose whatever investment that you had in it. So I pretty much rent them out, manage one or two of them, and then I hire management companies as well.
Okay. And you own a salon as well, is that correct?
Yeah, Loved Ones Barbershop in Fontana, California. I have a partner. My partner used to cut my hair. I have real short hair since you guys don't get a chance to see me on any of the Ning sites. I have real short hair, and he's been cutting my hair since he was like 19. And he just came to me and he asked me if I wanted to be a partner. And voila, I own a business, barbershop / salon. It's been over about a year and maybe about 3 months. We're filled up. You know, it's like a little family. We just love it. And I pretty much do all the management part of that, and because I don't do hair, so I'm just the management part of it.
Okay. Well, that is really, really cool and interesting. So the next question, I guess, is how did EBiz come about? How did EBiz Marketing even fit in all of that?
I've always been on the Internet. I'm like the researcher for all of my little group. You know, when we go to concerts, plays, trips, I'm the one that's always on the Internet trying to get the best price. And when we opened up the shop, we wanted to provide a service to our clients that come into the shop in regards to, you know, telling them happy birthday, letting them know when each individual stylist or barber was having a special, you know, those type of things, just keeping them updated about what's going on in the shop. And so when we did our grand opening, we had the radio station come down, and we gave away prizes and stuff, and we took business cards, and we created a database. And when we did our grand opening, I hired a email marketing company to send some information out about the grand opening. I was like, I could do this. You know, I'm on the Internet all the time. So that's kind of how it came about, and then it just evolved, and I got the opportunity to meet up with an owner of a magazine, Kymie Porter, who owns Urban Lifestyle Magazine out here in Southern California, and she was doing the magazine part, and she kind of was going to get into the email blasting part, but it just she wanted to focus on print, and so she brought me in. We sent out some information to her database, and announced that I was going to be the online portion to send out information as EBiz Marketing for Urban Lifestyle Magazine. So that was major for me. I got a large database from Ms. Porter in from that. And then I started doing some things for the Inland Empire Black Chamber of Commerce. Thank you, Linnell Jones, the president. He brought me in. I started doing some exclusive email blasts for the Inland Empire Black Chamber of Commerce. And so my database, I kind of been blessed in regards to my database. The International DJ Trade Association, whoop, whoop, what's up? check them out, International DJ Trade Association, or IDJTA.com. I came in to do some marketing for them, got a database that way. So I kind of been blessed with getting databases. It takes a long time to build a database. And it takes even longer time to build a quality database because you can have a lot of people in your database, but if they don't open your emails, it's kind of like irrelevant. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
So you want to frequent openers. You know, my frequent openers, I'm going to give a shout-out to. I appreciate all you guys that opened up my emails. Thank you so very, very much. You are part of my success, if not all of my success. Thank you.
Okay, that's great. So, of course, here comes the next question. How did you get involved with the BBS Value Tour?
I got involved with the BBS Value Tour through the Black Business Space. And I can't even remember. I am so ashamed. I can't remember who invited me into the Black Business Space. I got an email from somebody to join the Black Business Space. So I went in there, and I was like, oh, my God, look at all these black business owners. You know, I'm like way loving the black people, you know. I love my people. So I'm always excited to see my people doing things and, you know, taking care of themselves and running their own businesses. So I got in there, and then I got a chance to meet some phenomenal people. You know, Jacqueline, of course. She a major hustler. Y'all ain't even know it. Major hustler. And so then I met Liana. Liana invited me. That's who invited me.
You are so crazy.
Okay, Liana invited me because we live in Southern California together. And then Jacqueline, Rebecca Jenkins of Innovative Design, I always giving her a shout-out because that's a bad little sister. And Jacqueline sent an email blast, for lack of a better word, out and asked people to come over and to join the BBS Value Tour, the makings of it and the beginnings of it, and that's how I got into the BBS Value Tour.
Okay. So what's it like being a sponsor? You know, has it helped you at all, helped you in your business, or have you gained any value from being associated with the tour?
Yeah, I have gained some value being associated with the tour. I've met a lot of people. I've received business from being in the tour, and some of the tour locations that we've already been a part of, you know, kind of came about. Yeah, you know, eBiz was hustling, but, you know, mentioning the BBS Value Tour and what we can bring to an advertiser, I mean, you're going to get nationwide advertisement if that's what your company needs through the BBS Value Tour. So, you know, I could come to them as BBS Value Tour, but when I slid in, coming to them as eBiz, but when I slide in the BBS Value Tour as an added bonus to what I do, then it's like, oh, yeah, okay, yeah, we want to do business with you. So, I've made a lot of good connections. I've made some money.
That's always good.
So we are trying to do it. Money. It's just really, really, it has just been really, really great. And I just appreciate all of the people that I've met and who have supported me. I think we met Crazy Eddie from the BBS Value Tour and the BBS the Black Business Space, didn't we?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
I met Eddie through, you know, Surfing Ning, like Chuck said, Surfing Ning, and he was promoting about this, this conference call. That's how I met Eddie, and I went there in order to build a relationship with the DJs to introduce spoken word, you know, to help make it more mainstream.
Mm-hmm.
And so from there, I could tell Eddie needed, you know, some support, you know, administratively as far as some sponsorship packages and things like that. So I offered my support in exchange. We worked on another project, and when we kind of saw I didn't think that was going to be the best look for, you know, Eddie and what they were really trying to do, and I just made a suggestion about, you know, looking at a trade association to help them reach their actual objectives. And so then that's when, and in the process first got to know Eddie. I told him his network to go to Black Business Space, which he went there, and then he came over to the Value Tour, and Eddie has brought a lot of people our way. That's how we got Big Check Ty from MLB, DJ King Assassin, almost all the DJs in the labels and all have all followed Eddie over. Eddie has brought a lot of people into the community. And then we went and started the Collective X, and then I said, well, you should check out Edwina. And it takes, I'm telling you, now, women, if you have a man, you might be need to be careful. But once everybody talked to Edwina, they love her. Oh, my gosh, the call,
exactly.
they're like, oh, my gosh, she's the bomb. Oh, Edwina, this one person even told me, I just love her. I was like, well, okay. And I'm all over the phone. But Bruce George, he really, you know, you were very helpful and, you know, with facilitating Bruce George, once I secured him for the LA Black Book Expo, you know, and Edwina, you were awesome in facilitating that and making that happen, and he just thought the whole experience and meeting you was just so off the chain. That's just what's so great about Edwina. Everybody loves her. You have such an open spirit, and you make everybody feel comfortable and at home, and she's all about business, but you make everybody laugh and have fun.
Why, thank you, thank you.
Yeah.
Why, thank you.
Yeah. So what's on the horizon? I know with the tour we got a lot of exciting things happening, but what's also on the horizon for EBiz?
Well, you know, a lot of the stuff that I do for the tour, it starts out with EBiz. What I like to bring to light is the College Expo, which is also known as, or formerly known as, the Black College Expo. And they're going to be coming to a town near you, Los Angeles, Houston, New York, D.C., Maryland, ATL. There's one more, Chicago. Mm-hmm. And we're going to be part of the January 2009 Los Angeles Expo event. And, you know, we want you to come out and support the kids. We want our kids to go to school. We want to be able to have scholarships for them to go to school. So please visit thecollegeexpo.org and, you know, come along on the ride with us to support, you know, our kids. That's one of the things on the horizon. You know, I have some things locally, regionally that I do with the businesses. The Juneteenth America, which is a national program to do some things in Kansas. Check out their website, JuneteenthAmerica.us. I believe that's the website. Please forgive me if it's not. And just locally, there's a lot of businesses that support me.
Okay. So, well, we do have some exciting things coming up. Right now we're, like, building a few things, but one of the things we like to let our audience know, and next week, by next week's show, you have a chance to start registering. And if you need to, just go by www.bbsvaluetour.ning.com or just simply go to bbsvaluetour.com and sign our mailing list. Now, when you go to the Ning site, just sign up and we'll automatically have your email. Because what we're going to start next week, we will start our monthly drawing for a $50 gas card. All right, so if you'd like to win some gas, and there's nothing wrong with that, some free gas. If you can use $50 worth of gas for free, sign up. You must be on our mailing list to just to receive the notice so you can sign up. And then once you sign up, you'll be entered into our drawing. And then also when you sign up, We're the private sales. We have advertisers that will be having exclusive sales just for members of the BBS Value Tour. So if you want to be a part of that, the holiday season's coming up, and if you wanted to get your own inside sale and discount, you just need to sign up. So eBiz will be sending that out. And eBiz always have opportunities to win tickets, the concerts, and all type of information. Check out artists. See, if there's a gospel newsletter, right?
Edwin?
Okay, I'm in the bad area. You guys know I'm on the road. Can you hear me?
Okay, yeah. But there's a gospel newsletter you have, correct?
Yeah, I've been working on the template, but I should have it back out next week. So I do have a gospel newsletter. I would like to say that I am looking for some national events for my gospel newsletter. And right now, that's a free product. The newsletter's not really big, so you know I only have limited space for information. But if you have an event that's national, regional, whatever, local. Get with me, and we'll try to get that information in that newsletter to send out. I have a nice little-sized database, approximately about 9,500 regionally and nationally in my database. So I really want to start that, get that gospel newsletter going pretty strong. At this point right now, it's a complimentary service. You know, maybe down the line I might charge a little bit, but right now it's complimentary.
Okay. And did you check out Black Gospel promo?
No.
I'll
did I
send
do what
over
now?
To you. Black Gospel promo with Vita.
Okay, Park. No, you yes, send that to me. There's another one called. I'm going to give this guy a shout out. NationalMinistry.com. He sends out nothing but gospel information, and his database is humongous. And
yeah.
Well,
Vita Brown is one of the first people to start the email marketing for the gospel industry. She's
okay.
A pioneer, yep. And she's a black woman here from Philly, so shout out. Philly shout out. But, yeah, she's part of the marketing organizations and everything. But definitely, because also, too, when you say you're looking for national information, you can get national information there. So I'll get that to you. And you also have fitness information that you send out as well, don't you?
I have what? I'm sorry. Repeat that.
Fitness?
I used to have a fitness person that was sending me, that I would send a newsletter out on. That didn't kind of pan out for me. You know, sometimes people's schedules just get so busy, and she had her own thing to do, and I understood it. And so to write a newsletter was, just not in her schedule. But, you know, if anybody's out there who is certified, you know, and they know what they're talking about, then, you know, they can contact me. I mean, because when you give a fitness,
it helps.
You know, maybe we can do something, because I would like to, our communities, we get high blood pressure, sugar diabetes. You know, we don't get up and move. We move from the kitchen to the couch. And so, you know, I would love to do something like that as well. So please, email me at info@ebusinessonline.com. That's info@ebiznessonline.com.
And give the website.
The website is www.ebiznessonline.com. The one thing that I would like to talk about is search engine optimization. Jacqueline and I talk about it all the time. There's a little article on the Black Business Space Value Tour in regards to search engine optimization, SEOs, increasing your Google search. We have a partner link exchange program where if you put our link on your website, we'll put your link on our website. And doing that and having a lot of, I guess you want to call it backdoor links,
yes.
You increase your Google search. So maybe you have a pet grooming service. So they put pet grooming in. The more sites that your link is on, the higher you rank in that Google search. And so we do have a partner site link exchange program. So please, when you get to the site, click on that, send me some information, check out that particular page, and we are really excited about that program.
All right. Okay, so there is eBusiness Online, and you got to hear from Edwina Water. Now, if you want to see what she looks like, how pretty she is, then just check out the show promo. And the video is on bbsvaluetour.ning.com. The video will also be on Black Business Space, and we're going to get it on MySpace, and it'll be on our Black Planet page. Yes, you can find the BBS Value Tour in all of these places. But the main thing, we need you to just come on, join the tour, give a shout out to all our guests. Make sure you come and join our community, join the family, give a shout out to Edwina on her page, give a shout out to Chuck, and soon we're going to have calling in will be Melvin C. McKnight, and he will be joining our community real soon this week, so he's new to us. And Edwina, we're going to just ask you that 30-second thing. If you had 30 seconds and the whole world listening, what would you say?
I would say that voting is a privilege, and somebody was murdered, slain, killed, and raped for me to be able to vote. And how dare I disrespect my ancestors or my predecessors and not go vote. I don't care who you vote for. Just vote.
Right. All right.
You heard it.
You heard it. From the one and the only Evis Marketing says vote.
Rock the vote. Rock the vote.
We have registration on the main page of the Ning site of the BBS Value Tour. Is that correct?
Yes, it's on bbsvaluetour.com. You can register to vote. You can register to vote at bbsvaluetour.ning.com. You can register to vote at myspace.com/BBS Value Tour Artist Collective. So,
no excuses.
Yep, no excuses. Register and vote. So now we are going to check out from Melvin C. McKnight. We're going to check out his selection, Dark Chocolate, for Black Mel from his CD, Straight from Uptown.
Let me swim in your ocean. Quench my thirst with your touch. Give you things that you won't need. For so long, let me hold and caress you in ways that you know I will never deceive you.
Okay.
Who am I?
Hey.
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you. We hear you.
Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah, born and raised in New Brunswick, New Jersey. I've been doing music most of my life. Came from a very, very musical family. And more than I knew, because I was adopted by my mother's adoptive parents. My mother was a foster child, and then when my parents broke up, they took me, and they raised over 100 foster kids. So I had mad brothers and sisters. There was always a lot of music in the house. And then I met my dad 10 years ago, and he told me all of my relatives. I'm a McKnight, so like Brian and Blackbird from P-Funk, and then I got all of that stuff happening.
Wow.
And it's a little overwhelming, but, you know, I just started meeting a lot of family right now. So
wow.
That's a little bit of who I am.
Okay.
You know, that's a lot of the important stuff. That's, you know, where I get a lot of my inspiration from is family and how I grew up and where I grew up.
From family and how you grew up.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that last track was what did you play, Dark Chocolate?
Dark Chocolate, yes.
Yeah, sorry. That was a woman that I saw that I didn't really have the guts to say anything to. And then I said, you know, it became bigger because she was dark chocolate and she's beautiful. And then I started, you know, thinking about how dark-skinned women get, excluded and edged out of videos and stuff like that. So it's becoming even bigger than how I even interpreted or came up with it from the get. You know, it's has even a deeper meaning right now.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
You play in a lot of venues on the East Coast right now.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to make your way out west?
Yeah, I'm definitely going to make my way out west. I was supposed to go the end of September, and that may still be.
Okay.
Start doing some music out there.
Uh-huh.
And also, and I'm going down south also. Going to hit Atlanta.
Okay.
You know, I'm working on a new CD.
Mm-hmm.
Working on a couple of independent videos. Well, actually, one is already finished. It may be still on my MySpace.
Situation?
And
I like that video. I like the way
it is. Still on there?
Nice. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Cool.
Yeah, I checked that out.
Yeah. Yeah, you know how MySpace is. Sometimes people be calling you. It won't play. Like, well, get rid of that budget computer.
Yeah, I definitely
it won't
got
play.
It. I like situations.
Yeah.
You got a nice little sound going for you.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much.
I saw some pictures on your MySpace page, too. One picture in particular stood out to me. Remind me of a little Jimi Hendrix thing you got going on there. What was that all about?
Well, I have no idea what you're talking about. What
you
talking about?
Yes, you do. I think you know. You was playing your guitar in a very difficult way. You know what I'm talking about.
Let me get away. I'm like, I just got out of my gig, and of course some alarm is going to go off right I'm like next to him.
Of course.
At least y'all know this is really live. That's proof it's live.
That's for sure.
But that song, I actually wrote that song in like about 20 minutes, the lyrics.
Really?
Well, I had to because I've been working on the song for a long time, and my co-producer is keyboard player. I went over his house, and he, you know, and I was just kind of like coming to his house sometimes not prepared, and his time is, you know, is real, you know, sacred. And I was like, well, so he's like, dude, man, did you finish it? And I was like, yeah, just give me 20 minutes. I need to rearrange something. And I hadn't finished it. And I just went in the back. I said, give me 20 minutes. I went in the next room and came back. I said, okay, I just wanted to put the finishing touches on it. And I actually wrote it. I actually wrote it right then.
Wow.
But it came out. It's just something that was in there. When you stop thinking about it, and I realize that when you stop thinking about things so much,
uh-huh,
and just allow yourself to things to come out of you, Because there's tons of things in everybody. There's like tons of just idealisms, thoughts, everything in people. And once you learn, once you get to a point where you just let it out, it'll come out when you, if you just allow it to and don't get in the way. And I learned that from watching the interview with Denzel Washington. Yeah, Denzel Washington, where he was talking about stuff like that. He said, they asked him, how do you get ready for all these parts? And he said, well, I don't get in the way.
I take care of my Bentley. I mean.
Yeah, he said, I just don't get in the way.
Right, right.
Yes, I just, you know, and I took that to heart once I heard it.
Uh-huh.
And it's helped me a lot. It's helped me a lot, like, channel things that are in you. They're always there, you know.
Well, that's one thing about your sound that I like. It just kind of, it kind of transcends time. It's like it's from the heart, and it's going to be good decades from now, because you have that kind of sound that's just going to last.
Oh, well, thank you so much. Thank you so much.
Yeah, no, seriously. We had another musician on like that. You want to be good to the guests when they come on, but I can't help it when it's coming from the heart. I'm really digging what you have going on here. What I was getting ready to say is how long you've been writing and you've been doing this. Yeah, I know what your inspiration has come from, but as far as performing professionally, like going to these venues, how long has that been going on?
I've been performing, from age 19. I was always exploring things, yeah, like different places. And it just, you know, you get better and better, and you play more places, you meet more people, you get, you know. But literally as a guitar player, you know, and a singer, just really working. It was just always my job,
mm-hmm.
like for a long, because I've done music for a living for a very long time,
mm-hmm.
you know, and I've had, you know, little spots where I might take a day job or something, but majority I've just done music, and it's always just been my, you know, how I eat. And then, you know, playing with other people. And then, you know, it started, you know, things after I played with other people, learned so many different things and had so many inspirations. And then it started to, you know, form into what I would want to write and started to come out, you know. And that took a while for me personally because I didn't really trust
uh-huh.
people in the studio because
uh-huh.
people are always trying to put their sound on you.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I was not really feeling that, because it's like, okay, that's cool, but that sounds nothing like it came out of my head.
Okay.
Like, you know, and I understand making things, you know, like if you need a bridge, you say, oh, that could use a bridge or something like that, but it wasn't about that. It was about people kind of putting their label on it, and until I met, you know, my boy Jesse Fisher,
mm-hmm.
and I was using him as a keyboard player, and he, you know, he said, well, you know, I produce some stuff, blah, blah, blah. So we started working together. And every time stuff would come out, I said, okay, that sounds like me. It sounds like
okay.
what's coming out of my head,
right.
you know. And I'm like, that's fine. Like it does. He didn't try to change anything. He just tried to help bring out whatever was there.
Yeah, just try to add to your vision and just let it flow through you. That's,
yeah, exactly.
Okay.
And little technical things that he would let me know. Well, that's not going to work here if you know, stuff like that. So
it was a
definite blessing to find somebody who understands that to kind of like. Not want to put like this giant label
mm-hmm.
like they do on clothes.
I heard that. Okay.
On the back of your pants, and you got a billboard, a walking billboard, and you're getting, hey, none of these companies giving you no money.
Okay, that is so funny. Okay.
you know what's up, man. not playing that.
You are paving your own way with the sound.
No,
but musically, like, who do you like to listen to? Because you have your own kind of sound that's really coming out. You can see that. But when you're not listening to your own stuff, who do you like to listen to?
Oh gosh, it's everything.
Internet?
Like, yeah, I have a lot of. There's a lot of friends that I have that are independent that I like.
Wow.
Yeah. You know, I love Jaguar, right?
Oh, yeah, I know. Uh-huh, Jaguar, uh-huh, yeah, Neil Soul. Yeah, she's real good. Okay.
She's
okay.
Oh gosh. She's been in the last couple of years. She's been a big inspiration. Just
uh-huh.
her person and her way she and the way she delivers things and
yeah.
just you know stuff like that. Like a lot. Strangely enough, a lot of women artists in
mm-hmm.
in this last like year have been big inspirations of Corinne Bailey Ray. And you know her writing like that. When I first heard that album, I was like, "That album's gonna be, that's gonna be gonna top new artists." I know it because the writing is incredible.
It,
you know, and she's been writing since she was like 4.
Oh my goodness!
And she played all the instruments and on there. Like she played guitar, bass. Played most of the instruments on there, with the exception of drums. She played all the guitars, bass, drums, bass, electric guitar, and acoustic guitar. But
yeah,
she's an inspiration, you know, on the whole neo soul thing. And then you got to go back, you know, like Stevie Wonder, Al Green.
Oh. Now you can
you know.
Right there.
Yeah, of course. You know, you
Stevie
know what's
Wonder,
up. Like,
okay, he's just yeah.
yeah
he's
Stevie,
just
like I met. Yo, I'm gonna tell you something. I've met a bunch of people who were famous. And you know, there's always one. I never was starstruck ever in my life.
Okay.
So one day I was walking in the music store. I was getting ready to go on tour with John Legend. And we were going to the music store to get stuff. And me and the guy, we walked past where they were selling the headphones. And we walked past and then we stopped in the other department. And we both stopped and looked at each other. And I said, "Dude, was that who I thought it was?" He said, "Yes, that was Stevie Wonder trying on headphones." He said, "I want to go." He said, "I want to go back there." I said, "I do too, but my feet, for some reason, are not moving." I never been starstruck until that day. Like I had nothing to say. I froze.
Yeah.
I had nothing to say.
You was definitely in the presence of genius. It just kind of
I met people of that caliber. It's just something about Stevie Wonder.
There's something about because
it's not
though.
Yeah, it's not just his music. It's everything about
it's
him.
Everything about him.
And I just like. I just froze. I was like, "I'm sorry. Nothing's going to come out of my mouth smart, and I'm not going to."
I like the way you put that. Okay.
But I know it. And you know what? You know the whole Shakespeare. I don't know if you ever heard the whole Shakespeare. It says, better to remain silent.
Silent.
No, better to
open your mouth. And
yeah, and remove
mouth.
All doubt.
Exactly.
Yeah, better be thought
exactly.
of as a fool.
That is too funny.
And I was like, "I can't do it. I got nothing smart to say. I'm not even going over."
Let's just go. Let's leave right now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I just stood there, watched, you know, said, you know, kind of waved, and then walked away. All right, and then I thought about it, like, okay, he didn't see that. No, it was just.
Oh, you still went up to yourself, you know.
But I think the next time I meet him, it'll be better, you know. But I was just a surprise. It was like I wasn't expecting either. Like you know, I was nowhere prepared to just walk past. Oh, that's Stevie Wonder. Oh, come on, man. No, I was not even prepared.
Interesting. So you mentioned you toured with John Legend. Who else?
Because
that's phenomenal.
I toured as a guitar tech. And you know that's when you're a tech, you're actually like second whatever your instrument is. So I was second guitar. Like if anything happens, or you're like the understudy guitar, and I ended up having to use that at one point. My friend that got hurt had hurt his hand, sprained his wrist, and so I had to. They woke me up and on the bus, and I ended up having to learn the set in about 4 or 5 hours. So.
Whoa.
Yeah, so it was that's cool. They woke me up on the bus. They were like, "Hey, I got good news and bad news." So I was like, "Okay." So yeah, it was cool. It was cool. And then John Legend was actually the next date. He was actually not feeling well, and then I asked him. I was like, "Dude, did I do that bad that you got sick the next day?"
Aww.
But
I'm sure that was a reflection. Come on now.
Yeah, but somebody, everybody got paid, so that's what was important.
Yeah, exactly.
They didn't have to cancel. They didn't have to cancel the show.
You didn't get say, then you probably would have had to worry a little bit.
Yeah, because they got me. You know, I played it, and I was like, yo, I was talking like that, and then everybody's like, oh, man, you bailed us out. That's what's up. So I was like, okay. Yeah, it was a good experience, really good. It's a great experience. He's an incredible person.
Mm-hmm.
Really, just really, a lot of entertainers don't allow you to really, like, do your networking.
Right.
In their camp, and he was like, yo, he's all about it. Yo.
Do your thing.
You know, do you, meet people, do whatever, you know, and he's just mad cool.
Well, that's amazing. Well, yeah. you have a really vibrant spirit. I mean.
Hello?
I'm here. I'm still here.
Edwin, Liana?
I think Rihanna left.